We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper. Got it! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch, and I am joined, as always, by the other host of this podcast, the for once not snubbed Rohan Kadi. Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you doing on this sort of humid day?
Humid, at least not cold, though. It was 60 degrees, I think, today, although I wasn't able to enjoy it, but I'm good. I'm pretty good, you know. We're here on this episode of the Eurostep. We decided to open up the mailbag. It's been a while. And the quality of questions we got makes me feel like we shouldn't have waited so long. I feel like the people were overflowing with inquisitiveness. That's the, I don't think that's a real word, but that's the word for our audience. It is now, at least.
Sure. Why not?
No questions about the failed Bucks Twitter bracket, which is probably fine with us. Although I heard we were included, so congrats, Rohan, formally.
Yes, thank you. You as well, Ty. We both made it. We've been snubbed in the past, but now we make a bracket that doesn't exist. So
that's probably better.
Sure,
I guess. Or the flip side of looking at it is, we finally get in, and the whole thing goes to hell. Although I think it always goes to hell. Let's just get on with the questions. We assembled a ton on Twitter and from the Eurogroup Discord. A reminder, if you're not in that Discord and would like to be, it's very simple to get in. Screenshot yourself giving a 5-star rating and review of the Eurostep on Apple Podcasts or simply listening to the pod on your other platform of choice. But the Apple rating review really does help. But however you're listening is just fine at the end. Send it to Rohan or myself on Twitter. At R. Cotty Jr. and at Ty Windisch, or at Eurostep Podcast, or you can email it to us, eurosteppod@gmail.com. But we took a lot of questions on Twitter, got some from the Discord. Let's dive right in. Dawson on Twitter wants to know, if you were coach of the Bucks, what would your ideal playoff rotation look like with the current personnel? And we also got a similar question from Daz on Twitter. If the roster doesn't change, who is your closing lineup right now? And no waffling, who is our best 5-man bring-it-home lineup? Make the case. So,
first of all, the waffling is what – that's my brand.
I was going to say, there's two times we waffle, on the podcast and at the breakfast scene. And apparently we can't do it for this one question. So no waffling zone, closing five.
Okay, closing five, right here, right now, just straight to it. For me, it's going to be Drew Holiday, Dante DiVincenzo, Chris Middleton, PJ Tucker, and Giannis. Easy.
Yeah, I think that's the group. I think that's the group. You caught me after one of the best Pat Connaughton games of all time. It's a tough time to ask me this question. I still think that's the group. I think that group gives you the highest ceiling, if not the highest floor, and that's what you should probably make that decision based on.
Yeah, exactly. You have to go for the highest ceiling. When it's closing time, you have to go for the best you can possibly do, right? Because at the end of the day, the goal is to win a title. And if you're trying to win a title, you have to put the best five players on the court that work well with each other. And that's the best lineup you can throw out there. It's too versatile on defense. On offense, you can do anything you want. You can run any single scheme you want to do or a variation of any scheme all at the same time. With that lineup, there's no holes in it whatsoever. I mean, sure, you can get into like Dante offense, PJ Tucker offense. Sure, those are holes, but it's there. There's the potential to do so. You can't run like a switch everything defense with Brooke Lopez out there and expect it to go super well. It's wild. I guess I'm going to waffle now, but we have that moment in the game against, who did they just play? The Pacers? Yeah.
Yes.
The Pacers, where Brooke Lopez blows a switch and then him and Bud just start going at it. And that's just, that's a coming, like, that's just an incredible moment. How
Never
far we've
we'd
come.
See the day.
How far we've come. Bud is getting mad at Brooke for not switching.
Like, and Brooke went to make his case to like Vin Baker and was like just walking away. I saw our friends at Spinsters just did an episode, I believe on Tuesday, that apparently Mercury is in retrograde, according to the episode. I guess that's a real thing. I guess that has real impacts because, I mean, listen, Brooke Lopez, infamous for his disbelief every time he gets called for any foul or he doesn't get a call in his favor, or sometimes even if he does, he's still in disbelief at the officiating. But like, this was another level of I think outburst is the right word. Like, I don't think there's a long-term issue because of it. I think stuff like this happens and it's fine. I mean, Chris and Giannis famously kind of got into it about some sort of matchup or scheme thing last season. And I actually kind of loved it. But it was just like so, I couldn't believe it. That was this season?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Pandemic time, baby.
I'm pretty sure that was this season at least. But yeah, he seemed like he couldn't make his case to Darvin Ham. Then he went to Charles Lee. And then everyone's just like, bro, just let it go.
Yeah, like it's one play, man. You probably should have switched.
Just like, it ended in a wide open three for Indiana, like given not because of the initial switch, like the failed switch, it's because of the rotation the Bucks were put in afterwards because they were scrambling. But that's an amazing moment. I was happy that happened, honestly.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, we needed something to fill because it started late anyway. It started at 8 PM. I think my theory is because it was an NBA TV game. They pushed it back an hour, which was annoying.
Ooh.
And the rim got tilted by Brooke Lopez, who was so pissed about this miscommunication. He almost destroyed a backboard. So at least we needed something to focus on in that time. And Giannis's bench reactions got us through earlier parts of the game, but the Brooke Bud is just volcano. Took us through the stoppage.
Yeah, it really did. Okay, back to the initial question. I'm done waffling. Okay. So we did the closing five. What's the rotation looking like here?
I will say, if they're playing Embiid or Jokic, I think Brooke could make more sense than PJ Tucker. If you want to call that a waffle, that's a waffle. But I think it just depends on who you're playing.
I'm leaning... Even like, let's say you're playing Denver, for instance, still put Giannis at the five.
Yeah, that. He was really good. He was really good against Jokic in that first Nuggets game. Sure.
We don't have a sample for really against the Sixers and Embiid this season.
Yeah.
So if we get that, I don't recall when they play next. I think it's later when Embiid is supposed to come back.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so too. That'll be a great matchup as always. Yeah. So if in that matchup, like, during the regular season, still Brooke Lopez shows that he can still, you know, give Embiid some fits, then go for it. But I think as of right now, based on the sample we have this season, you have to still go Giannis at the five.
That's fair. So rotation. I think it's tough because there's probably going to be a mystery player that slots in.
There is for sure.
Problem,
but also they seem capable right now.
Well, yeah, they haven't lost in quite a while. I think they're winners of 12 of their last 13, the Milwaukee Bucks, and now seven in a row, going back to before the All-Star break. So they have not lost since the All-Star break. They also have not lost since acquiring PJ Tucker, never lost. I think in the regular season, if you're talking regular season rotation, I think whoever they get to play point guard is going to slot in.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably see that person for light playoff minutes. Maybe.
Yeah. Probably. We saw Frank Mason get minutes in the postseason last year.
That's a good point.
But also you just need a backup point guard in general.
Yeah. At least to get through the regular season.
Yeah. And even in the playoffs too, I shouldn't have been so dismissive. You do need them to eat up some minutes. You can't have Drew Holiday playing 48 minutes a game for whatever 23 games, whatever it is, hopefully just 16, but
yeah, that'd be good. And they're only if they're all wins, though. They have to all be wins for 16 to be good.
That's what I come on.
Yeah, you know, I know it was implied, but
16 wins a ring.
We're really
deep cut right there.
Yeah. It's good. We started with Twitter drama, we got back to it. But I think the question was, the existing players on the roster mainly. So we'll ignore the mystery spot for now. I guess with just the players on the roster, you have to assume Dante is the de facto backup point guard. But really, I think you have to assume that Chris and Giannis are going to have the ball a lot when Drew sits, which is what a lot of people are saying, you know, and all this backup point guard talk is, does it really matter? Because they should do that anyway. I mean, I see the point. I mean, I think Drew and Chris and Giannis should be initiating a lot of the offense, but I do think it would be helpful to have someone else, if nothing else, than to give those guys a break. Like, if we want Giannis to play more minutes, like, if Giannis is bringing the ball up the court and trying to initiate his own offense every time, that's not an easy way to help him play more minutes. Like, let him be off ball, let him be rolling and catching lobs and stuff, and that goes for the other two guys as well. But I guess Dante is the backup point guard who's not on the ball a ton, is right now what it would be. And then I think the starters, obviously, I think PJ Tucker will play a lot. I think Pat Connaughton slots in nicely currently, probably as your, I don't know, seventh man, eighth man. I don't know how you look at him versus Bryn versus Bobby.
I think Bryn, you're starting to convince me a little bit on Bryn in the sense that he has to get minutes based on what he's doing.
But I think limited minutes.
Yeah, limited minutes, spot minutes, but he has to get some run because he just has so much gravity as a player. But the thing is, Pat's doing it as well.
Yeah.
Given he's not in a specialist type role, like they're not running sets for Pat Connaughton in that respect that they do for Bryn Forbes. But have you noticed that Pat Connaughton, all of his threes are deep threes?
Yeah.
They're all deep threes. They're all like 2-3 feet behind the line. This goes back to what John Horst, Mike Budenholzer have said throughout the years, is that they're trying to monopolize players taking deeper and deeper threes. This is what the Rockets tried to do when they had Ryan Anderson?
Oh, yeah. Rhino, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Anderson trying to take deep, deep threes just to get more and more space. And you obviously have to have people hit that for that to be respected, obviously. But Pat Connaughton's hitting them, and he's actually making respectful gravity in his own right as well.
Yeah, and I think he's continued to take smarter shots. I think his defense has been pretty good over the last few games. He's jumped less. People make shots over him. He's not that not long. But it turns out, you know, being strong, which is like the thing we kind of made fun of Pat for, right? Like he's in the weight room getting ready for spring training. And
I think we make fun of him for different things, but
for a lot of things. But that's like one of the things he's known for, right? Like him and Giannis always working out. Turns out being really strong can be helpful.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, he should be super strong. Like that's how he's able to be like a backup four. Is it because man's just a unit?
Yeah, he's yoked. He's yoked out here. So we're talking about rotations. So there's 240 available minutes in an NBA game, obviously regulation. If you just assume the starting five plays 36 each, which is a rough estimate, but we'll just go with it. That's 180. So that leaves you 60 minutes. So basically 20 minutes apiece for three bench players. If you want to have an 8-man rotation, So I guess we already have a pretty difficult decision to make, because either you're going to play nine or you have one too many between PJ Tucker, Pat Connaughton, Bryn Forbes, and Bobby Portis. Should they go nine? Should they cut one of those players out?
I think it has to be matchup dependent.
Probably.
Yeah, because we've seen, well, we're starting to see sort of Bobby Portis and PJ Tucker, usually they're on the floor at the same time, or we haven't really seen a lot of PJ and Giannis, even though, given it's been like two games and PJ Tucker got hurt.
Yeah. So, should not have played again after that, by the way. That was a dumb decision by the Bucks, and I hope it doesn't set him back any.
Yeah, but I think it was an ankle sprain,
but
that's what it's listed as.
Okay, yeah. It shouldn't be that serious, but yeah, give the guy a week off. He's old. Let him get right.
Yeah, it's fine. Save him for the playoffs. That's what he's here for.
Yeah.
But you're starting to see a lot of PJ and Bobby together. Bryn Forbes is in there right now because they don't have like a backup guard to really solidify those minutes, given Bryn has been in the rotation anyway. But I don't really see a lot of these minutes going away, right? Like, all of these guys are going to play in the postseason.
I think
given who's coaching the team, and given who's coaching the team, but also given their production.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really hard to sit one of those four.
All of those guys are good players, right? Like, you can't argue. Like, that's our big thing with Pat Connaughton now. You can't argue with them being on the court when they're actually playing well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be difficult.
I could see trying to maximize Bobby Portis is maybe playing him a little less minutes, but just go all the way out, man. Like, maybe you try and sneak in like 2 minutes here or there where two or even three of the big three is sitting. And it's just like, let's let Bobby Portis just cook for 3 minutes and try and stay alive that way. And like, cheat yourself an extra 3 minutes toward the end of the game where all three of them are playing. Like, there's going to be a lot of interesting options. I do think the nice thing about the roster right now is it's more switchable. I think it's more playoff ready than it's ever been before. And I think obviously essentially swapping DJ Augustine for PJ Tucker is like the least switchable to one of the most switchable players that you could ask for. But it is a little tricky now with who they're going to play. Like, especially if they went out and got like Wayne Ellington, right? Somehow that's a 10th guy that you're like, he should play. Like, that's a good quality player. And at that point, you know, does someone get squeezed just like kind of randomly? Is it just entirely matchup based? You try and play all of them? I don't know. It's, you know, a lot of takes about Coach Bud come from Bucks Twitter and on this here podcast, but that's not an easy decision. But it's certainly better than the decisions that we've seen made in years past that are like, oh my God, nobody's ready to be out there right now. I guess the one nice thing is like, if someone's clearly not holding up, I think any one of those rotation guys you could excise from the lineup and not worry about at all. Or like, I mean, you know, knock on wood, God forbid, an injury as well. Like, they're a little bit interchangeable at this point, which is probably a good thing. Like, there's not one guy on the bench who goes down and I'm like, oh, they have no one who can replicate any of those skills. PJ Tucker probably the closest, but I mean, they have some players who can switch. They can size up a little bit. They have Portis, who's like kind of the opposite of PJ Tucker in terms of defense, but at least can play there positionally. I don't know. I feel like they do have options. It's going to be kind of hard to figure out who not to play. But hopefully that's the quandary that the coaching staff finds themselves in, right? It's like, how do we find minutes for all 10 of these guys in a playoff game?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be easier in the front court because Bobby and PJ are going to eat into Brook's minutes a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe finding minutes for those two is going to be easier. Just the guard rotation. If anything, it's going to be Dante who sees less minutes.
Could be.
It could be. We've seen Bud have quick triggers with like anyone in the rotation now, which is good. That's really good. Because like you were saying, they have options. It's not like they're hamstrung just playing, oh, we have to play this guy. Right. So if someone's not doing well, okay, you're out.
I do think it could be one of those where, like, if you're in a tight game five or something and Bryn Forbes is 0-for-3 from deep in his first 5 minutes, maybe he just doesn't play again that game. I mean, that's tough.
I think it takes him 5 minutes to get three shots up.
that's a good point. He's 0-for-5 in his first 3 minutes.
There we go.
That's more accurate, probably. But yeah, maybe that's the kind of situation. And it kind of applies to Pat, too. I think a little bit less dependent on just shooting, but most of his value at this point is probably coming from that too. So you can, you kind of get the luxury of riding the hot hand a little bit, which I know some will say that's a fallacy, but I don't know. I think it's nice to have that, that capability.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think we handled that question really well here.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we waffled that much.
No, not too much. Not for our standards, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Next question from Will Montreal on Twitter. Favorite non-Bucks players and why? First off, as we're recording this Tuesday, it is Will Montreal's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a friend
birthday,
of mine.
Happy birthday, Will.
Happy birthday to Will Montreal. If you're listening to this on Wednesday when it comes out, wish him a belated birthday on Twitter. Yeah,
happy belated, Will.
Yeah. So, favorite non-Bucks players and why? Luka is so much fun to watch, man.
Luka's a good one. Luka's a really good one.
Let's see, who else?
I like Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler, yeah, for sure.
I like a lot of the league, honestly.
Yeah, the league's in a good spot. Every team has like a player who's really exciting to watch, like Ja. Ja is so much fun.
LaMelo.
LaMelo, unfortunately.
LaMelo's a blast.
Yeah, he's hurt.
He's
now,
hurt
though.
Now. That stinks, yeah. Yeah, I think you could actually, we could do like one of these per team. We're not going to. I think a lot of them would be obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm not sure there's anyone on the Celtics I care for.
Yeah. Celtics, Raptors.
Yeah. Yeah. except maybe future Buck Norman Powell. I don't think so.
I like Kyle Lowry.
It's true. I like Steph a lot too.
Steph is so much fun.
I made a YouTube video about it, but the 15-16 year when he hits that shot against OKC to win the game, it's just like
all-time
one of the most
moment.
Unbelievable.
That's where like you remember where you were when you saw that shot type of thing.
I was in my terrible first college apartment. And that was like, oh yeah, you're right. I'll never forget where I was. I think I was watching it on a laptop or something because, you know, it was a situation, you know, to figure out how to watch games. But crazy stuff. Fun stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, Luka, Steph, those are two of my favorites.
And probably LeBron, I think, when he's not playing
LeBron,
the Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, dominant LeBron is so much fun to watch. Who else? It's just
Jokic.
It's a fun league. Oh, yeah. How did I miss
so
Jokic?
Fun. Yeah, Jokic
rocks. Oh, my
rocks.
Goodness. Jokic might be my favorite, not Buck.
Yeah. Like, I can see that. It's pretty hard to hate the guy.
How can you? Man, it just has fun out there.
Right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He has so much fun. He just makes these lumbering shots. And you're like, what on earth are you doing? And then it goes in.
He shoots like 90% on game winners, I feel like.
I know. He's one of the, I think he's up there with Dirk as one of the most efficient big men in terms of close game situations. So it's so much fun. He just sees the floor differently as well. The Nuggets are a fun team to watch, man.
Yeah.
They put on an offensive masterclass night in and night out. Just through, you get Jokic out there, you get Campazzo in his spot minutes making just these absolutely audacious passes, putting backspin on outlet passes. Like, oh my goodness.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
We should mention Dame.
Oh yeah,
how late game when it's Dame four, is just a yes. show.
Dame, yeah. When it's Blazers are in a close game in the fourth, you got to switch it. You got to switch to it because Dame Time's about to show up.
And luckily, they're in a lot of close games because they're not nearly good enough to win handily. So you get a ton of Dame Time.
They have to be in Dame Time.
Yeah, there's no alternative. There's no alternative.
Yeah, there's too many. There's too many guys to list. You could name. I could name on and on.
Yeah, I like that. I like that we got to field this question. Thanks for asking, Will, because I feel like it lets us showcase that, you know, we do a Bucks pod, but we're fans of the league as well. Just not every team and player, but just the game. And I think that's important. I think that gets lost sometimes on Twitter. But yeah,
appreciate the game.
Gotta love the game. The Milwaukee Player Options, which is a great name. John Horst is like loving this account probably. Ask. What's the real story why Torrey Craig couldn't get any run? Bluntly, he wasn't good enough.
Yeah. He wasn't better than the guys playing ahead of him.
Which is Thanasis, which is saying something. You know, I don't want to rag on Torrey Craig unnecessarily.
No, it's fine. He signed a deal with Milwaukee. It didn't work out. I'm sure there was something behind the scenes where he wanted to get out, and they let him get out. They traded him to Phoenix. Like
the thing behind the scenes was he wasn't playing.
I think he requested a trade.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
he just didn't go full Thon.
Oh yeah, it's hard to go full Thon.
It's tough to go full Thon. I think he was definitely ready to go somewhere else. And I mean, I think even if that could very well be true. Also, it benefited the Bucks to launch him into space, aka Phoenix, because then they get
you
to use
missed a prime opportunity to say launch into the sun, Ty.
Oh, I was so close to it too. You're much better at wordplay than I am. But yeah, I just think a lot of the pro Torrey Craig stuff is overblown. His defense was. He played really good defense in that Nuggets game, and then the rest of the season, like, he's just following the hell out of everybody. I didn't think he was that good on big men and switching wise, which is the Bucks really needed that from that spot, which is why I think he didn't stick in. Like, they needed someone who could size up as well as size down a little bit. They have a bunch of guys that they want to put on smaller players, but not as many to be that perfect stretch four next to Giannis. Torrey Craig just wasn't being that, and he also wasn't shooting well, so it was like really a lose-lose situation. So
yeah, they tried it. It didn't work out. They moved on
for free. Yep. And yeah. And just
maybe they get a printer out of it.
Is that Korver?
Yeah, that's Korver.
Korver got traded for a fax machine.
The Jazz. Yeah. Yeah. Or no, wait, was it the Jazz or was it the Nets?
I thought it was the Bulls, but I could be wrong.
Was it? Oh, you might be right.
I think they drafted him.
Yeah.
Korver's been all over, man. I actually just forgot he was a Buck. And I just quickly, I said I didn't want to rag on Torrey Craig, but I do see people putting out, like, he started games in a playoff run because all the other Nuggets were gone. And, like, I see he guarded LeBron. Why would you get rid of this guy? LeBron averaged 31-10 in the series where Torrey Craig guarded him. And good old Torrey put up 3.6 points in 15 minutes per game. Like, he played, he was out there, but much like PJ Tucker, ironically enough, the LeBron stopper, LeBron said no.
I mean, Iguodala won finals MVP for holding LeBron to like 28-8-8.
So. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough cover, and you can't expect anyone to clamp him. But
And it's just, Kyle Korver was traded to the Sixers from the Nets, and the Nets bought a copy machine.
If you can get a copy machine out of Kyle Korver, that's not bad. Okay. Are we good? Next question?
Yeah, next question. Okay.
It's a good one.
Smothy King on Twitter. Shots.
It's the correct spelling of the word. Yeah. We should change it.
Does Giannis need to keep the headband after the team's performance last night? This is an easy question. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It was a good look.
It was a good look. He looked like Torrey Craig, some people were saying.
Memorial like, game.
Just like a super, super long Torrey out there. Man was just having fun out there with the headband. They're undefeated, never lost while he wears the headband. So
it's
you got
to advance that.
Yeah. How could you not?
I'm pro headbands. Look. No, you go.
Remember when Bledsoe tried to do the headband and he played really well when he had a headband on?
Was that the ninja headband era?
No, it wasn't.
It was just a normal
they banned
headband?
The ninja. Yeah.
They got to bring that back.
Hate that. I will forever hate the NBA for banning the ninja headband. Jimmy Butler, Wes Matthews. Did Drew do it?
He might have. I feel like every Western Conference guard got there.
Yeah, it was just it was a great look. It did so not cool. pose any hazard. It was stupid.
Adam Silver's been sus a lot, and that was like one of our early warning signs. I don't think we paid enough attention to.
Yep. Bring back the ninja headbands.
And just for Giannis, you can start with the normal headband, and then imagine like Giannis in the finals wearing a ninja headband.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, YouTube viewers, if you don't see this on YouTube, Rohan like gasped.
What if he just does it? What are they going to do?
Yeah, fine him? I mean, well, yeah, fine. Okay, find me. Cool.
Yeah, cool. I signed a $200 billion contract. Yeah, like keep finding me.
That's what the Lakers do.
Do they?
They caught a tampering sometimes here or there.
Oh yeah, that's true.
They don't
that's
really. True. Yeah, I think Magic's picked up a few.
Yeah, Magic picked up a lot.
Magic, someone needs to do like a look back, like doc of Magic's time running the Lakers, because it's truly hysterical. The fact that he left the job to tweet, I think, is my favorite part.
That is not. I have a feeling that is not true at all.
I don't know, man. We still tweet, so
that's true. But we also don't run the Lakers.
Okay, fair point. Fair point.
I mean, Rob Pelinka, he's doing a great job. He was there too. Like,
that's very, very true. Rob should tweet more.
Does Rob have a Twitter?
Probably.
And somewhere.
I'm sure it's a lame one. Most of the, even like the quote unquote cool exec Twitters like Maury, they're not that cool.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
Griffin, Van Gundy.
Oh, yeah. Stans was cool before he got the job.
Yeah, then he had to adhere to team rules.
Yeah. The man holding down Stan.
Yep.
Also his own coaching holding him down. Brian Tenner on Twitter. Tenner or Tenner? Tenner. I'm guessing.
I know this
Tenner.
Guy.
Yeah. Asked, when does Giannis get a Fortnite skin? As you pointed out, Rohan, he was on Madden already, so this is like very possible.
It is very possible. Giannis has made his way into the video game scene. Like you said, he's in Madden for some reason. I don't know how it works whatsoever.
Did they put all the brothers in there, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I do not play Madden.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure what's going on there. I don't know if he's still there, but that's opening the door. Sure. Why not give Giannis a Fortnite skin?
It better have a headband.
It has to at this point. Epic Games, if you're listening to this, give Giannis a headband.
And like give us Fortnite skins too.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you have the power to do anything. You control that whole universe.
Just do it. Come on.
It's like us and the Bucks coaching staff, because they listen to the pod and take our feedback very seriously.
Yeah, they do.
Speaking of fire. Absolutely.
Oh, good
segue. Look at that.
Yeah, it was.
DJ Abides, one of my absolute favorite usernames, both in the Discord and on Twitter. Asks, after the strong fire Bud push early in the season by Bucks Twitter, Bud seems to be coming around and trying new things. At this point, do you have a milestone the Bucks must meet in order to keep Bud? Finals or fired? ECF. This is a good question. I see questions like this a lot, which is like not even just with Bud, but with like, does X team have to do X thing? And I get it to an extent, but like if they drew the Nets in the second round and like we all agreed Bud did a pretty damn good job in that series and they lost because the Nets are just ridiculous. And Kevin Durant posted like 40 points per game on 50, 50, 100 shooting and tweeted about it and made fun of us online after every game and shot 100, 100, 100 there as he usually does.
I hate that. That is a completely 100% plausible scenario.
That could
like
totally
even
happen.
The numbers you said are completely plausible.
Absolutely. It's Kevin Durant. Like he's really good. And they also have James Harden and Kyrie. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, as much as you could probably sell me on that being an okay solution to getting Bud out of here, I do think it's more important to look at process than results. And that includes the playoffs. And like, I mean, they could win a title. I know, but I mean, they could win a title and Bud could still coach pretty bad. And you can't really fire a guy if they win a title. But I don't like looking at the result. Like, look at what actually happened. Like, part of us was mad over the summer because they lost to Miami in the second round in 5 games. But mostly we were mad because we saw an awful coaching performance
across the series. It's not like, them losing. It's how they lost.
Yeah, I mean, them losing sucked. But Wes Matthews watching Jimmy Buckets, I couldn't decide between Butler and Buckets, Jimmy Buckets pouring in mid-rangers on everyone's eyes from the bench for no reason. That's why we were so fired up and calling for the job. So, I mean, if he continues to coach well, I don't know. I still think it's probably a higher ceiling if you can find – I think you can find a better coach. I think there's a higher ceiling out there. That said –
might have one on your coaching staff.
Might probably do have one on your coaching staff. That said, it's been pretty good of late. You got the upstock for the Pacers.
He did. He, like, credit where credit is due. He's doing the things we wanted him to do.
Thanks to Drew and PJ.
Yeah, like he had to – who knows if he's being forced to do it? Like,
and maybe Brook Lopez. Well,
yeah, like he may as well be doing this. Like, imagine Brook in that tirade. He's like, "Man, this is what you wanted us to do for so long," and then he's like, "Man, Drew has my kid. Like, like, just do it.
Just do it."
But yeah, it's just like he's doing what we wanted him to do. Let's see if it continues. Let's see if it continues. I still think they can upgrade. Do they need to upgrade right now? Right now, I'd say no. But if they completely flame out due to his mistakes again, then there's no shot. There's no chance.
If he costs them a series, he should be gone.
Exactly.
And again, there's people who will and definitely can make the case that it almost shouldn't matter. But I mean, if he legitimately improves, he legitimately improves. But we'll have to see it. And I'm not.
People can change.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's possible. I'm not saying it's probable. It is possible.
Look at Rohan coming up with, like, just, I think this is something society is dealing with right now in this current time. And it's, you have an open mind.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
People can do whatever they want.
I think I'm coming to the same conclusion. I just don't like it.
Oh, I don't like it either.
But you have to have. But if we have a similar situation again, gotta be gone.
No, gotta be gone. I think if they don't make the finals, I think he's gone.
He probably is. And if we're talking about what will happen, not what we think should happen.
Yeah.
It's another year cheaper, so certainly could be.
No, and even in the sense that usually organizations are forced to make changes, even if they don't really think it's a good idea. Even if, like, let's say they don't make the finals this year, they're going to be pressured into doing something. They're going to have to do something insane. Yeah. Like, big changes have to happen. So it's either going to be Bud getting fired. It's going to be a massive, massive roster shakeup. It's going to be something. If they don't get over the hump,
someone becoming John Horst's boss.
That might happen
that
anyway.
Around the league. That, and if Masai is interested,
there you go. We both had the same idea. Oh yeah,
of course we did.
Why would anyone want to be in that situation? My goodness, I'm begging for it.
OG Jeezy's doing God's work on Twitter. Yes. I don't even have to make the jokes. So I can just head over to his page, hit retweet a few times, give 5-6 likes. I scroll through the exchanges. He's taking care of it for us. A lot of people are.
He's collecting names out there.
Yeah. He's unflappable, man. Like, he's used to seeing it all. He knows what they're gonna throw. He's ready.
We've been through it. We've all been through it. But the collective Bucks Nation, we've been through it. We know exactly what other teams are gonna throw at us, and we're ready. We've accepted the pain. We've been through all the pain. What are you gonna do? Make us feel it again? We've dealt with it already.
We were born in the darkness.
Yeah.
We had Eastern Conference Finals ripped from us through NBA malfeasance before. That was like a lot of our earliest memories.
You think you can break us? No, we're already broken.
We've been.
That is not the positive attitude I wanted to end that tirade with.
Neither is this. Pal from the Discord, you mentioned a seismic roster move. I think we could see a coaching change and a seismic roster move if this postseason goes very badly. And I probably wouldn't be opposed to both of those things happening, but maybe not the specific thing, but maybe the specific thing. He says, say the Bucks blow it this year and want to make changes next year. What could you get with a package of Middleton and Dante?
This is tough. This is really what I was alluding to when I said,
I know.
Massive.
We had a good segue, but we got distracted with something else.
Yeah. I had to say my thing.
Yeah, of course.
You can probably... It depends on realistically how Chris fares in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If he does well, then he's an asset. If he does poorly, He's an albatross contract. Albatross contract.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I just he might not be worth that much.
Yeah, it's like you have to. You're not getting like a super duper star or anything.
Like I don't think you'd get Beal if he doesn't play well.
No, no chance.
Like they don't want to trade him. First off,
the only thing that the only way that would happen is if said star said they want to play with Giannis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if you just shopped around Chris, I mean, you kind of have to assume that one or both of them was at least a little bit disappointing for the scenario to happen, right? Like if Chris played like early season Chris, I don't think there's, it'd be really hard for them to have a disappointing run. Like if Chris is 23-6-6 on insane shooting, they're just going to be, I don't want to say unstoppable, but very close to unstoppable. But I guess, you know, maybe the Nets situation happens or something. It's so hard for me to find a specific player because it's like, you know, most people Bucks fans would want are like probably younger. And most teams who have players like that would rather just build around that player than add Chris Middleton and Dante, who is like,
yeah,
it's a really,
it would have to be
package.
Someone who requested a trade.
Yeah. And then it's like you have the salary slash actually, and actually, you know, I don't think he'd ever come close to being an albatross because if you think about we've seen some pretty big playoff flameouts from good players, and I think they're still very valued around the league. Paul George, James Harden, a little bit better than Chris, but just a little bit more though. I digress. I don't know. I wouldn't be super enthused about it though, which is probably part of the reason why it hasn't happened at any point. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, Chris and Giannis are tight and Chris is a big success story for the Bucks, so I'm sure it's nice for them to keep him around. Obviously, you know, basically got him as a salary matching throw in piece in a trade and he's become a very, very good player on this team. But I don't know if, I don't know what the thirst is like around the league. We haven't really gotten any reporting on this ever to have a gauge, right?
I don't think we really have.
Was like Kyrie the last time when Kyrie was leaving Cleveland? That was like the last time Chris was in a trade rumor?
Yeah, it was been Middleton that long. It was really Middleton and Brogdon for Kyrie in that situation.
Which looked, first it was like, I can't believe we missed out on that. And then like 2 years later, it was like, oh, thank goodness. No, it was like, oh, thank goodness. He wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no way Kyrie would be in the same place for that many years.
He'd probably still go to Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I don't think it would be a great package unless it was some serious clue. Unless Giannis gets his buddy Steph wanting to come over.
Or Dame. Or Jokic. He's racking up the list of buddies.
He's got a lot of buddies. I think if I was the GM for one of those teams, I would say, you know what, Steph? We had great times together. I'm not trading you for Chris Middleton and Dante DiVincenzo. I'm sorry.
I think Steph has pull where he could say anything and they'd have to do it.
I don't know, man. You get zero first round picks back for Stephen Curry.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, let's, like, if Kyle Lowry has that sort of pull with the Raptors, I'm sure Steph does with the Warriors.
Reportedly. Great segue. Take it away.
So our next question from Clayton on Twitter. What team are you most worried about Lowry going to? Do you think any moves will happen at the deadline that change the playoff outlook? So the reason we're talking about this, there have been reports that Kyle Lowry is potentially going to be traded by the trade deadline, given that the Raptors are an absolute tire fire. that's fun.
It's a shame.
It's a damn shame. Really, really was pulling for them. They beat the Bucks twice in the regular season, though. So
that's all that matters.
Yeah, it really is, evidently.
Also, the year 2019, which is getting farther away, literally by the moment. But you know,
yeah, farther and farther away, and even the people who are part of that want to distance themselves from it. So,
But Lowry could go to Philly or Miami. It seems are the two teams most involved.
that are rumored to be on his list. Philly, he's a Philly guy, and the Sixers are good. So that helps. I think it's Philly for me. That's the scariest team because the hole they have right now, I really struggled with that sentence. The hole they have right now is their point guard position, and bringing a guy like Kyle Lowry in there is just, that's a lot.
Yeah. Especially because I feel like he shoots 70% against the Bucks from three.
Yep,
which is really what they need. Yeah, that would be terrifying. I agree with Philly. Miami, not that much better, though. I mean, they're not as good, I don't think, but they've been really good lately since they got Jimmy Butler back. Shocking how that works. Lowry and Jimmy Butler together with Bam Adebayo on the same team is also pretty terrifying. I think the Bucks could still beat either of those teams. I do think Philly is just all around better, but Lowry and Jimmy Butler and Bam on that Miami team is pretty terrifying as well. So I think definitely rooting for him to either remain in Toronto, stuck there long term, or to somehow like have some mystery team out west get involved. Like I don't really want to deal with Kyle Lowry on a contending team anymore.
I
keep him
say,
in Toronto for the next 5+ years where he won't be on a contending team.
There we go. I will say, Kyle Lowry is not going to bully Jrue Holiday in the way that he did Eric Bledsoe.
That's true. Yeah, the Bucks are much better equipped to handle him now.
We saw TJ McConnell doing Kyle Lowry-esque things against Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday was like, no, I'm not having any of this whatsoever. I'm going to get you played off of the floor.
That's the thing, man.
The difference in responses. We've talked about this. I hate talking smack about Eric Bledsoe because he committed to the franchise. He did his best. Right? I hate dogging on him. But sure. when he faces adversity with players, he turns it into the Eric Bled, like the Bled show, right? And then it just goes very, very, very poorly. Jrue Holiday beats you mechanically. He beats you with finesse. He makes it his goal to embarrass you when you try and upset him. And that's what he did to TJ McConnell. Poor TJ McConnell, man.
He's going to embarrass you, Barry. That's a deep cut reference from a Netflix show. I don't know how many people watch.
I don't get it.
I think you should leave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Good show. Sketch comedy. But yeah, I would not like Lowry going to either of those teams.
Send him to the Clippers. Why not?
Yeah, it's like pretty much impossible unless they're sending back like Paul George. But Paul George in Toronto would be hysterical, though.
Yeah. Imagine Kyle Lowry goes to the Clippers and he's like, oh man, I get to play with Kawhi again in a bigger city. It's just like, let's go with titles here.
Oh man.
That'd be incredible.
He's going to sign an extension wherever he goes, it seems, for 2 years, $50 million, which probably will be a good contract all the way throughout. But
I mean, he's a small player getting older. $25 million a year. Hey, he's proven he can show up.
Yeah. True.
So I don't think it'll be that.
He just proved that narrative about him, which I think is useful to keep in mind as the Milwaukee Bucks go forward with some players on this roster. You can turn that narrative around with a timely performance.
You really can. it's really shocking to see how his narrative changed, realistically. It used to be like, oh man, the Raptors are just, well, whatever. I'm not going to praise them.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, what's the next question?
Okay, so again, from DJ Abides on Twitter, Diakite is on a two-way currently, and we all want to see more. Would you prefer the Bucks keep him on a two-way or try to add him to the active roster? Is there more guarantee he stays with the Bucks long-term if he is added to the roster on a rest-of-the-season contract? So the thing is, they've changed the two-way rules, right? Yes. So you can keep the two-way, and it's basically a roster spot. Because Correct. The G League bubble is over, and now they can be active for the playoffs. They can remain on the team throughout the entire postseason. It's basically a roster spot. You get more flexibility. I assume once the contract is over, he becomes a restricted as well. And I'm sure if he plays well, he will get added to the current roster. I think it's better keeping him on a two-way because then you can add someone else to the roster via buyout, and you're not going to want to add someone who's going to go on a two-way. You'd rather add someone who's going to be like on a vet mid.
Yeah, and I think the answer for me is it depends who's available.
Yeah, that's fair.
If there's not two good guards available in the buyout market or a guard and a wing or whatever you want to do, then I would say go ahead and why not sign Diakite. And I mean, it's always favorable to be signed to an NBA deal. You know, good for him. If it could be a nice step in working to keep him longer term, if he was given that little bit more cash, a slightly more security It's better to be on the NBA deal than the G League deal for the player, for sure. But if you can acquire two buyout players who you think could play a role in the rest of the season, and you can also, Diakite can still do that too. I think two-way guys can even play in the playoffs now. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to help them at all. I think he still gets an NBA year of service because he's playing in games, even though he's not on an NBA contract. So I don't think it has that many ramifications at all for his contract future and the Bucks being able to keep him down the road. But I mean, what they could do is sign him to a 1-1. That's pretty standard around this time of year where you give the rest of this year guaranteed and then next year non-guaranteed. And that could turn into a bargain contract if he does develop and become a real rotational player. You could even do a Hanky special where you give him like a 3-year contract where it's partially or not very guaranteed. So something like that could be more advantageous to do that than to, you know, bring in one quality-ish buyout guy and then one buyout guy who kind of stinks. So I could see it. I could see signing him. If you can get him on a longer term deal, like that's obviously super beneficial. But if you're just talking about rest of the year versus keeping him on the two-way, I don't know if it moves the needle that much, but you could definitely talk me into, you know, let's get Diakite for a 1-1 and have the chance to keep him around guaranteed for next season.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. As long as you can keep him around and if he's good, like he was just named first team all G League.
First team all G League, first team all rookie G League, and first team all defense G League.
Yes.
Guy is showing out. Only him and B-Ball Paul.
B-Ball Paul. I love how Shams was like, Paul Reed, a.k.a. B-Ball Paul.
He's done it like 3 times now.
I know. It's amazing. It's amazing what agents will tell people. I also just like, I just want to shout this tweet out from our friend Frank Madden on Twitter, who said when Giannis was Diakite's age, he had been to 3 All-Star games and won an MVP. When he was Merrill's age, he had 2 MVPs, a defensive player of the year, and 7 NBA seasons under his belt. Giannis is an alien. Giannis is my dad.
Speaking of Giannis, we're on fire with the segues in this mailbag podcast. Zach Pawlowski asked, what is it going to take to utilize a lineup with Giannis running at the 5 more often? We've seen some incredible numbers. I believe Nikias Duncan tweeted some very good numbers of him when he's out there, Giannis when he's out there without Brooke Lopez or Bobby Portis. And it's like the production is just ridiculous, redonkulous. I think it's going to be a matchup thing. And I think PJ Tucker being around is probably going to be a big part of that. I do think that missing stretch 4 was the missing key to unlocking more Giannis at the 5 lineups.
Yeah. Otherwise, we talked previously, you'd have to slide Chris down, and that's just not ideal defensively for those matchups.
Yeah.
Offensively, it could work, but just defensively, it just wasn't great. So, yeah, the addition of PJ Tucker unlocks that lineup a lot more. We'll see how long PJ's out. Doesn't seem like it'll be that long. Maybe like 1 or 2 games, give him some rest.
Yeah.
But it just PJ gives so much flexibility. This is what we were talking about. It allows Giannis to really go at the 5 and wreak havoc in those lineups. Yeah, that's it. It's PJ Tucker. He's what unlocks those lineups.
Yeah, I think we'll see more, but hopefully in the meantime, even while he's out, we can see a little bit, you know, Bobby Portis at the 4, Pat Connaughton at the 4. I still think Giannis should get some run at the 5. But yeah, I do think ultimately that was the crux of the PJ Tucker trade is let's figure out a way to do this much better. And they pulled it off.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Next question here from Jin the Buck on Twitter. Has anyone else noticed that Giannis is screaming at his opponents when they attempt 3-pointers in front of him? It's hilarious. I have not noticed this. Have you?
I think I saw it like once, but now I'm going to keep an eye out for it. Tonight, Wednesday, for the game. I'm excited. Celtics game. I want to see Thanasis yelling, man.
I don't know how I haven't noticed it.
I will say, any little thing Thanasis can do to try and help the Bucks, he's going to do it. He's always going to do it.
He lays everything out there. He does everything he possibly can. Which is why he's, you know, a good player and like a good rotational piece for this team.
I saw him getting clowned because he was like -7 in a game the Bucks were winning in a blowout against the Pacers. he still generated an extra possession in his 6 minutes or whatever. Like, he got in the mix for a rebound. And I think – I couldn't remember if he got – somebody called for a loose ball foul. That's Paul Pierce. or if he had just forced a little bit of a battle that ended up with the ball going off a Pacer. But, like, he does this stuff every game. Like, he is the master of grifting out extra possessions, whether it's, like, flopping his way into a foul, actually getting a rebound, just beating everyone else to where the ball is coming down. Like, he does all the extra stuff. So I'm not shocked at all that he's yelling at shooters. Like, every little thing Thanasis can do, he's going to do it.
Of course. Of course. That's I really want to see this now. I might have to review the tape and see if I can find it.
As you say, if Jin the Buck or anyone else has any clips of this, please tweet us the clips. Tweet it. We need to see the video. I love when someone will like tweet me something and like, did you see this? Or like, I noticed this. And then they follow up with the video. It's like, oh, that's very convenient for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just lazy, but you know.
I mean, like, if you're pointing it out, might as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's appreciated.
It is appreciated. So we got the trade deadline coming up. If the Bucks do something, or if the league shifts in a notable way, we will have another episode later this week. I know usually we stick to our schedule of episode or episodes on Wednesday, and then on Sunday our live show on Locker Room. Follow us on Locker Room. Or just listen to it on the feed when it goes up that afternoon. But we're going to have to keep an eye on the trade deadline, of course. So you can expect to hear from us if anything goes down to shift the Bucks or the league in a notable way. We will cover it, as we always do. But Will asked about a specific player. Firmly behind LaMelo and Scary Terry in the Hornets guards pecking order. It starts with Devontae Graham. Firmly behind LaMelo and Scary Terry in the Hornets guards pecking order. If a trade is possible, do you do it? Can shoot the lights out, makes tough, tough shots, and can play make and create his own shot.
Well, this changes a little bit because of LaMelo's injury.
Yeah, I think a lot less likely to be able to acquire Devontae Graham, unfortunately.
Though if he were to be traded, if a team were willing to offer like something of actual value, I think the Hornets would do that because they're still, you know, they're decent now, but they still need to look to the future where they, you know, they have LaMelo. Because my God, is that kid is good.
Also, Scary Terry's good. So, like, yeah, they certainly don't need Terry. Graham. She's
talking about another guy who's changed the narrative around him. Man is good.
I think he's the highest.
Yeah, I did. I'll eat crow on that one. He has the highest true shooting percentage in clutch situations in the league this year.
In fairness, I was basically advocating him for be the big offseason acquisition, which ended up being Jrue Holiday. So he probably still would have been very disappointing in that role, but he's been very good.
He has been very good. So, yeah, he's changed the narrative. Scary Terry, he's actually scary, not just Eric Bledsoe. I did it again. Dang it.
Sad.
I'm sorry, Eric.
Jrue Bledsoe.
No. To be fair, he put on a show.
He did.
Scary Terry did.
Oh, yeah.
Came that with was... the Jrue Bledsoe. He brought Jrue Bledsoe to the game. Like, are you kidding me? This is while he was starting for an injured Kyrie Irving.
That was what a time to be alive for that series. That's another one where like we need a deep dive video on that series, and won't enjoy a lot of it. But
no,
it was way more interesting than it had any business being.
Yeah, it was. That was the 7-game one, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, they almost did it.
Every team won every game at home, I believe. The Bucks won all three in Milwaukee, but the Celtics had home court.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, if a trade was possible, if they were able to get Devontae Graham, I think it would be a good addition, especially at the backup spot. However, this is not Devontae Graham from last season. He has regressed.
The thing about Devontae Graham is he's never been able to make twos, and that's really the issue, and it really holds him back as a player. The assist numbers are good. I mean, he's playing a little bit less minutes, but he's still over 5 assists per game, which is not bad at all. His 3-point shooting is down from 37.3 to 36.6, which again, it's not you can live with that jump. I mean, he went from like sort of good to not very good from threes, which is like whatever. His scoring is down because obviously the Hornets have more stuff going on now with Gordon Hayward and LaMelo and everything else. But his rookie year, Devontae Graham, 42% from two. Last year, his breakout season, 39.7% from two. This year, 35.6% from two. He's shooting for the last or no, this year, for the first time now, he's shooting better from three than from two. He flirted with it last year. That can be good, but in this case, it's very much not good. And I think he would drive Bucks Twitter crazy. I mean, the stuff about Dante not finishing and DJ Augustine, like, basically planking in midair as part of every layup attempt somehow. That's what Devontae Graham would do too. So I would take a flyer. I think like the three point pull up shooting is interesting. He does pass the ball well. He does run an offense pretty well. Great G League success story, who really made a name for himself after dominating with the Greensboro Swarm. I wouldn't give up much though. That's for sure.
No. It'd have to be like a protected second rounder or something.
Also, I think he's getting paid after this year. I think I wanted the Hornets to trade him at the draft because he's like on a minimum deal right now. So he's making nothing at the moment, but then I think he hits free agency. Well, actually he might not get paid because he can't make twos, but you have to pay him.
He'll definitely get paid
something.
Just not, more than he does right now.
Yes, that is very true.
But even like a flyer as a rental, I don't see why not. Like if you've exhausted the point guard market.
If they will take Karuks and a 2027 second round pick, then
give
sure.
Give Karuks and the cash considerations you got from Phoenix.
Yeah. Or you know, I'd give any one Bucks second round pick.
Give them the Harden, the Houston pick.
Maybe.
No, yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't. That was a joke. I would not do that. That's like the one valuable pick they have.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a buy low, but I think it's a buy low for a reason. Yeah. I don't know if I'd do that either.
Yeah.
That kind of shows you the how we
if
look
If you
at
can
it.
Get him for nothing, do it. Yeah. Basically.
If they literally want to give him away, then we
it's
will.
It's like, here's
we'll
Devontae Graham. Cool. If nice. That's the trade, yeah, do it.
Otherwise, but also sign Jeremy Lin and have them have a competition.
Man, they really need to sign Jeremy Lin.
Go get Jeremy Lin, man.
That'd be amazing.
That would, yeah, I'm all for it.
The redemption arc as well. Imagine Jeremy Lin winning a title with the Bucks.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
We deserve
after,
it.
Yeah, we deserve it. After like struggling to make his way in the league, having a rotational role on a championship contender. Like
losing out on winner. The Warriors job because he couldn't get his clearance from his Chinese league team in time. That was dirty.
That was.
CBA, get it together.
Yep. Both CBAs, like the NBA one and the Chinese Basketball Association.
Yeah, let us make some ridiculous trades, NBA, CBA.
Or like not have that weird deadline for getting players released from their contracts overseas.
True. Yeah. That's also fair. Last pair of questions, they go together. At David Dunn 21 asks, would you like to comment on the allegations brought today before the Senate subcommittee that you and your co-host have engaged in price fixing and insider trading on the Chris Middleton stock? The answer is no. And then Giannis Lombardi. I love that Giannis in the Packers jersey is still like basically a whole account on Twitter. It's awesome. That's a great picture. Giannis looked good in the jersey. I can see why they put him in Madden, actually. He says, don't answer this until he finally addresses how Titonia Capital has been artificially deflating, I think it's the wrong initials, but Chris' value with his massive short position. I think we've been pretty fair on Chris stock.
I think we've been fair on the stock market. Wow. Stock market in general.
Yeah.
We don't really value, like we get excited when a player does well that we have stock in, but we don't take that into consideration when making the movements. If you want like all of it, we do control the market. Like,
so yeah. I mean, it's kind of just tough. If you guys, yeah,
it's kind of entirely insider trading if you want to look at it that way,
which is also how the real one works. So if you're mad about us, get mad about the real Wall Street first and then fix that.
We don't make any money from the Bucks stock market. It is a fake market. It is not
go
real.
Go to Bear Stearns.
We are not financial investors.
Voice your concerns with Bear Stearns and then come to us, please.
Yeah. That rhymed. But no, we treat everything fairly.
I know we do a good job with our analysis because people hate us on both sides of the spectrum. And that is the mark of a good analyst.
If everyone hates you, you're doing a good job.
Sometimes, yeah. Probably all the time. Yeah. You might just be awful. But
I shouldn't say. Yeah. If you're genuinely a good person and then still everyone hates you because of your analysis, you're doing a decent job if you're actually putting thorough work in the analysis. Because like you were saying, if both sides are getting upset at things, you're not choosing sides.
I had a breakthrough last week. I was pushing an anti-Bucks agenda, which I don't know why I would do that, but I was, allegedly. And I was carrying water for John Horst in the same week. That is, I was like, this feels good. This feels good. Clearly,
we were carrying water for the franchise.
Yeah.
Like us of all people.
Well, it was me on Twitter.
I know,
this was not on you, but no, I know. Either one of us. Yeah, I know.
It's just like in general, I'm going to get in trouble.
I'll stop talking. You know, we can be wrong. We are wrong on a lot of things, but
yeah,
we don't carry water for anybody.
No, we really do not. I will happily admit when I'm wrong. Happily. That shows like, you know, if you're not willing to grow as a person, this is what I was talking about earlier in terms of change. How are you supposed to accept, how do you not accept criticism, but expect to, you know, move forward?
It's like you're ready to get canceled for some reason.
Me?
Yeah. You're like,
no,
not for this, but you're just like, listen, sometimes you just have to accept people have made changes and welcome them back into the fold. Like, what's going to come out?
I'm not. Please don't cancel me. I just made a bracket.
I'm just kidding. Well, no one's canceling you, Rohan.
Thank you. I don't think I've done anything wrong.
No. I'm just my
joke. No, I'm saying like, in general.
Yeah.
I'm saying
you have not.
Yeah. Sorry, not cancel. Consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Cancel culture is not real. Consequences are real. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
We got heavy on this one.
Yeah, you can't really. It's near the back end, so you know.
Yeah, it's kind of how it goes, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay, so we are out of questions here, Ty. You know what's time for?
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it my turn?
It is.
Oh God!
Oh, well, that's what it says on the sheet.
Yeah, I know. We didn't do it last week, so I kind of forgot. It is time for Choose Your Fighter, where I will give Rohan three options, and he will have to choose one. And those three options are going to be. So it's a summer day, and there's a light breeze. And there's a pitter-patter of rain falling down. I need to tell a Rohan story with this one to give myself time to think of one.
I'm sorry. If you don't have one, it's fine.
No. I'm a pro. You have to play one board game with a group of friends of any size. So I don't want the size of the group of friends to determine the question. So just assume you're with a perfect group for each game, basically. So don't think like I have this many people. I have to do this one. Are you aware of Jackbox TV?
Yes.
Okay. So Jackbox TV, Settlers of Catan, or like any drinking game with playing cards, whichever one you like best. For me, it would be President/A-hole, but for you, it could be a different game if you prefer a different one.
Ooh, let's see here. See, I feel like if it's a summer day and I'm playing board games, there's probably going to be drinking anyway.
For sure. Which, it can go with Catan. Trust me, I spent a good summer with a couple buddies.
I've never played it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's fun. I think it's one of those where it's popular to the point where there's a lot of people who just like hate it for no real reason. It's a fun game. It takes a while to get into and set up per game.
You know who's a big guy into that game?
Who?
Deli.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. I'd like to play Deli if you're listening. Come to Oshkosh sometime. Let's play Catan.
I hit him up on Twitter a couple of times when he was with the Bucks. Yeah. He never took my advice on the avocado toast colorway of the Deli ones. He quote tweeted it with an eye emoji. And I was like, am I gonna get credited for this idea here?
Or do I at least get a pair of the shoes?
Yeah.
Like come on,
nothing.
Man.
And then nothing. Yeah. I missed the deli. I almost got my one of my friends a pair of deli ones for his birthday once, but then shipping cost more than the shoes.
Yeah, that was the difficult part with the deli ones.
Yeah, I think it's more Australian. for reasons. But I should probably answer this question here.
Yeah. So I feel like Catan's gonna be out for you. I mean you wouldn't pick it if you hadn't played it.
I might go with Jackbox is just undefeated.
It's a really heat check.
It really is.
The Jackbox game, I mean, there's always one in every pack that sucks, which that's how they get you. Because usually you probably have to get two of the packs to get like three total good games. But there's some of the like the Quiplash and the one where you point at people, they're fun, man. They're fun
what's
games.
What's the murder mystery one?
Yeah, that one, Murder Mystery Party. That one's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go Jackbox games.
I think for me the answer is the card games. I already President/A-hole for on the pod. Such a good game. If you never played
have
it
you
before,
played Secret Hitler.
No,
that's an elite game.
What's the premise?
It's like you have two teams and everyone's like given like a role. You're either like a liberal or you're a fascist.
Oh my god!
And like
just like Twitter.
And one of the fascists is like given the role of Hitler, and like their goal is to pass fascist agenda. It's a little complicated, but it's fun. You're
trying
to
card game.
It's a board game.
Oh,
you're trying to figure out who's Hitler and like who's the fascist and try to get them out.
Sounds like
get to pass more liberal agendas. Than
real life Among Us, but with teams.
Yeah, it sort of is like Among Us. Realistic.
Those thinking games can be fun. I didn't want to say Among Us because we're not 9 years old, but
Among Us can be fun.
Yeah, I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, it's a lot of deception. We're bad liars, Ty.
We're too upfront. We can't lie. That's good podcast. Bad Among Us players and presumably Secret Hitler players.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but that's a good game. You should check it out.
I'm gonna have fun. To.
But yeah, Jackbox games for me.
I'll go with President A-hole with Jackbox right up there. I don't. Catan is just like it's. You got to be in a mood. It's kind of like Monopoly. You got to be dedicated to the game.
I can't play Monopoly. I'll get mad at everyone.
Oh yeah. So it'd probably be the same with Catan.
Yeah, because when I play things, I do it to win.
Oh yeah. Someday we're gonna have to play some sort of game against each other and stream.
I am uber competitive.
Same.
Yeah, if I am bad at something, I will work so hard to get better at it. Like we were talking a little off air about Madden. There was a free weekend of Madden 21 a couple weeks ago, and my friends were just absolutely destroying me in that game. So I, by the end of the weekend, I was beating them by 50 points.
Esports Rohan, Panda Gaming, Rohan.
I made them uninstall the game.
Oh my goodness! That they bought, or did they do the free trial?
They did the free.
Download.
Yeah,
I thought they had it, and then you got the free weekend.
No, they as soon as they were done playing me, they uninstalled the game.
It's always a good feeling. It's always good to make someone rage quit. There's no better feeling.
Oh yeah, but that's how competitive I am.
I like it.
So Monopoly's a no go.
We'll have to do a Eurostep Monopoly game someday.
Oh, for sure.
Us, Bud, and Giannis.
Oh my goodness, Bucks PR. Let's make that happen.
That would be the
greatest content of all time.
Bud is gonna come in like his early Bucks days and just have like some esoteric strategy that cannot ever win you the game. Bud's gonna be like, only the railroads is what I'll buy. Railroads, and I'll stockpile cash, and that's my whole game. And we'll be like,
he's
going to
build hotels on the first couple.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but then nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not going to make sense. Whatever happens.
Yeah, or it does. People can change. We talked about this.
It's true. Late stage Bud might beat us at Monopoly. Early Buck stage Bud, no chance. We're taking
that. Imagine if we could do that. That would be the greatest content of all time.
It would. Imagine
let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
Let's push the narrative.
If maybe we could carry water if we get to play Monopoly with Giannis and Bud.
Yeah, we'll carry all the price. Water we need to.
That's the price. If you see that video go up on our Twitters, mind your business about our Bud takes for the rest of time. You know what we had to do.
Yeah. We're letting you know now.
Yeah, just FYI.
Yeah. Okay. Are we good? We've covered everything here.
It's over.
This was fun.
Of course it was.
Mailbags are good. We have to intersperse them though, so we can get these quality, because these were great questions. These were fantastic really questions. Thank you to everyone who gave us a question here. It is very appreciated. And it's great stuff. Like obviously, like these were great questions. There were no stinkers in here. So yeah, we'll wrap this up here. Say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the illustrious Blue Wire Podcast Network. If you did enjoy the show, please leave a rating on Apple. Please send us a screenshot to me, Ty, or the pod account at Eurostep Podcast. Give that a follow. We're growing that as well, as always. But subscribe on any podcast platform of choice that you're listening to the pod on. If you want to get in on the Discord, as Ty mentioned earlier, send all of those accounts, or just one, whichever you really want to, a screenshot
or all of them.
you leaving a rating or subscribing. or just listening to the podcast in general. Make sure you tell all of your family and friends about the show. Check out the great content across the entire Blue Wire podcast network. Stay safe, everyone, and we will talk to you next time.